Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we kick off a 3-week tribute to one of the funniest and most loved shows from radio's golden age. Jim and Marion Jordan were kids from rural America who were determined to make it in show business. They got married and toured in vaudeville and started on radio in 1925. They presented songs and skits and made up scores of characters, creating distinctive voices for each one. It all came together when they teamed up with out-of-work cartoonist Don Quinn, who wrote for them and helped them create the indelible characters we still find so charming today. The characters named Fibber McGee and Molly were created for the show with the same name, sponsored by Johnson's Wax. But they had been honing the characters and their personalities on their show Smackout. Jim Jordan played the long-winded proprietor of a country store that was smack out of anything the customer asked for. In 1935, they began Fibber McGee and Molly as a couple touring the country in their car with pitches for Johnson's Car Wax. This episode is the pivotal moment when they settled down and became the Fibber McGee and Molly who would live at 79 Wistful Vista for the next 2 decades and provide years of entertainment to the radio audience. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly House Raffle, first broadcast August 26, 1936 on NBC.
Makers of Johnson's Wax bring you more musical moments of unmitigated merriment with Rico Marcelli's orchestra, Ronald Mansfield, Charlie Wilson, the Johnson Merry Men, and Marion and Jim as those gay and garrulous getters, those gasoline gondoliers, Fibber McGee and Molly. Marcelli and his men leave their broadcasting for forecasting, and they find it's going to get hotter, with shifting woodwinds and a rain of rhythm in The Weatherman. Wrap it up, Rico. In the midst of this sparkling music, let me remind you that now is the time to wax your car. Your family, your friends will be proud to ride with you when your car sparkles and gleams with a Johnson Wax polish. Ask your dealer for Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner. You'll receive a can of fine quality black touch-up enamel absolutely free when you make your purchase. Don't delay another day. Wax your car the Johnson way.
Take the plunge, make a dime, find my gal and make her mine, or change your plan. You know you can, you weatherman.
Remember what the poet sang? A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and thou? Well, that's Fibber McGee and Molly. Two loafers, bread, a chug of the motor, and thousands of miles behind them, they come in sight of a new real estate development.
Look, McGee, it's a carnival. Let's stop.
Oh, shucks, Molly. We ain't got time to go messing around those dread carnivals. Besides, it ain't a carnival.
Well, then what is it? Look at the people and the flags and all.
I don't know. What's the flag say on them?
Well, slow down so as I can read them, Ignorant.
Okay. What's the sign say, Molly? I can't read them and drive, too.
Oh, must be a new subdivision, McGee. It says, Wistful Vista Home Site. $1 down. Buy a lot for a little. A
lot of what?
Build a home for the land sake.
Fooey for me to them.
The realest real estate you ever bought.
Oh, shucks. We don't want to stop and listen to a lot of high-pressure salesmanship.
Look, McGee, that sign.
Where?
Barbecue sandwiches and coffee free.
Gotta get them brakes thick.
You needn't have stopped so sudden. You near broke me neck.
I know. I just happened to think. Every American citizen ought to be interested in the home building, Molly. It's the backbone of our...
Ah, go on with you, McGee. It's your wishbone you're talking about. You're wishing for a free sandwich.
Oh, shucks, Molly.
Hello.
Is one hello too many, mister? There's only two of us.
So I see. Yes, so I see. Two is the very type of citizen we want to see settled down on a little nest on this beautiful development, folks. Here's where you get a lot for a little. A home for half and contentment on every dotted line. Yes, sir, folks.
What is this place now?
This place, madam? Why, this is none other than that beautiful landscape, Hagelmeyer's Wistful Vista Subdivision. Why, it's for light, piped for gas, paved for pavement, ditch for sewers, and for only the small sum of...
Well, where do you get them free sandwiches, brother?
And coffee.
Right over there, sir, at the barbecue pit. But before you avail yourself of Hagelmeyer's Wistful Vista hospitality, let me give you a short summary of our proposition here. We have probably the finest, the most economical...
Come on, Molly, get out. I don't know why we can't get a mouthful and an earful at the same time. Where'd you say this here free barbecue pit was, brother?
Well, I must inform you that word free is conditional.
And what do you mean conditional? Free is free.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Free without the slightest reservation to those who hold tickets for the grand drawing.
Grand what?
What you mean, tickets for the grand drawing?
Do you mean to say that you've come within 10,000 miles of Hagelmeyer's Wistful Vista without learning from every man, woman, and child the sensational details of our sales stimulant?
Oh, sure.
Why, sir and madam, here is opportunity itself knocking, nay, thundering at your door.
That's all I want is opportunity to sink my teeth into a
barbecue. Why, for the paltry sum of only $2, sir. You buy a ticket which may bring you shelter in your declining days, a haven from the storms of the future, the dream of every solid citizen of this great commonwealth.
Oh, you mean you're selling chances onto a house?
A house.
A house?
Did you say a house, madam?
Certainly I said...
This is the house. A house of your dreams, madam. A cove of contentment. The realization of a lifetime's yearning. The answer to a woman's prayer. Look there.
Where?
Where?
There.
Oh.
Direct your gaze at that fine covered cottage. That marvelous modern example of the architect's art. The home of your heart's desire. Right over there.
Oh, the house. Oh. Well, it is real pretty, isn't it, McGee?
Oh, it's okay. Now, where did you say this here barbecue?
Oh, McGee. Gotta have a ticket, the man says. It's only $2 and you have a chance to win that house a lot, too. Am I right, mister?
The miserable truth. For the miserable sum of $2.
What in Tunkett's so miserable about $2, brother? That'll buy 20 sandwiches. And let me tell you, brother, a hamburger in the hand is worth a house in the hat any day. Come on, Molly, we better get back to
our... Wait now, McGee, wait. Buy me a ticket.
Buy you a... What was that, Molly?
You heard me, McGee. Buy me a ticket.
Well, for the... You mean you spend $2?
McGee, I'm starved.
Say, brother, how many sandwiches are you entitled to when you got a ticket?
Oh, there's no limit, sir. It's merely a gesture of hospitality on the part of the Hagelmeyer Wistful Vista Development Company. We feel that a well-fed customer is a better prospect.
You mean so... you can eat as much as you want?
Yes.
Now, give me a ticket.
There you are, sir. And as a friend to friend, I may say that you've never made a more intelligent purchase. It is...
You mean as one real estate man to another, brother?
Oh, now, McGee, give the man his $2 and let's be eaten.
Here's your $2, brother. As I was saying, I used to dabble Mike in real estate myself. tropical real estate.
Oh, really?
No, O'Reilly. O'Reilly and McGee. O'Reilly and McGee, the parts payment promoted to Panama. Used to sell banana plantations mostly. Some pineapple farms and rubber timber, but mostly bananas. Still, you should ought to have seen the work we done on the pineapple plantation.
But if you'll excuse me,
you ain't prying into my business a bit, brother. Always glad to share my experience with another real estate man. As I was saying, you should have seen the old Riley and McGee part payment promotion of pineapple plantation.
Oh, now, McGee, the man wants
to hear about how I done her. I know. You see, brother, I was probably the leading banana land promoter in Panama at the time.
Banana oil, McGee.
Banana oil. No, banana land. I had me the biggest plantation of bananas onto the island of Pago Pago.
Is that so?
Why, even the hurricane of 1908 never fazed me.
Really?
Even though the lightning bust every banana tree I owned right down the middle of the trunk.
Lightning struck every banana tree?
Right down the middle. But it never discouraged me none. I just took one look at them trees, ordered a herd of Jersey cows shipped in, and set up an ice cream plant.
What for?
Banana split for the export trade. Come on, Molly.
Martelli and his men confessing to a starlight superstition, I wished on the moon. And I might say right here that if you ever wished on the moon, or just wished that your car could keep that brilliant factory finish, Johnston's Auto Wax will keep it that way.
Yes, Harpo, I always say that a kid...
Now, just a minute, Fipper. My name is Harlow, once and for all.
Okay. That's once for you, and for all of me, it's still Harpo. I ever tell you about the time I had me the bee farm down in Turkey Run, Indiana?
Oh, an apiary.
I says bees, not monkeys. Well, sir, one day in 1906, or no, 07 it was.
I'm sorry, Fipper, but my time is...
I know,
well,
your time is my time. As I was saying, I drove into my bee farm one day and started giving the car a Johnston wax. And I happened to lay the can of wax down by one of my hives.
Oh, you had the hive.
No, my bees had the hive.
Oh.
I had the bees. But I lays me the can of Johnson's Wax down by one of the hives, and all to a sudden I see Hortense. Hortense, she was a queen bee from the Hemp Mother Honey Farm next door. I see Hortense looking down into that can of wax real curious. Then she gave a kind of an angry buzz and flew away home. The next thing I knew, there she was back again with the whole swarm of bees from the Hemp Mother Honey Farm.
Ah, she went and got her gang.
Yep. And when the buzzing had died down a mite, I could hear her say to them other bees, she says, sitting on the edge of the can of Johnson's Auto Wax, she says, listen, you mugs, she buzzes, get a load of the work that's being done over here. Look at that wax. That there is wax as is wax. Now go on home and see what you can do.
Oh, no.
McGee, now, will you let Mr. Wilcox get on with his work?
Okay. I was just giving Harpo here a nature lesson, but he ain't got the intelligence to grasp my stuff.
Well, we don't know about bees, but here's a tip that's honey. Now is the time to wax your car. Don't drive around another day in a dirty, dull, faded-looking car. It gives everybody a very poor impression of you. And it's so easy to take away all that unattractive, dirty film and give your car a gleaming polish that shines like new. It's easy, that is, if you use Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner. These two products are regular miracle workers. They transform your car right before your eyes. With Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner, the work is done in about half the usual time. You'll be proud of your car when you see all the sparkle come back to the finish. It will look like it did when you first drove it out of the showroom. So go to your dealer at once and ask for Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner. Let me assure you that Johnson's Auto Cleaner contains no harsh abrasives. It does a miraculous cleaning job, and it positively does not harm the finish. Insist on Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner and save the finish on your car. And now, the show stands still for Ronnie Mansfield, our handsome Irish tenor, who stands pat at the mic to sing, And Then My Heart Stood Still.
I took one look at you, that's all I meant to do. And then my heart stood still. My feet could step and walk. My lips could move and talk. And yet my heart stood still. Though not a single word was spoken, I could tell you knew. That unfelt clasp of a hand told me so well you knew. I never lived at all until the thrill of that moment when my heart could feel. That unfelt clasp of hands told me so well you knew. I never lived at all until the thrill of that moment when my heart.
Wistful Vista Real Estate Development, amid the banners and bunting, barbecues and bologna, where Fibber and Molly are getting their $2 worth of sandwiches and coffee at the expense of Mr. Hagelmeyer.
Well, McGee, if you're able to walk, let's be going.
Oh, shucks, Molly, you might let a fella finish his sandwich.
His sandwich?
Yep.
Go on with you, McGee. You've ate so much beef, I'll have to ride herd on you for the next 2 weeks.
Chuck, you done all right yourself, Molly.
I know. I ate my dollar's worth in Piccadilly alone. Tear up your ticket and let's go.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Molly. Chuck, I paid $2 for that ticket.
That's a net $4 worth of sandwiches and coffee. You don't think you'll win a house and lot, do you?
Well, you never know, Molly.
Look at the number on that ticket, McGee.
Where?
Right on the corner there. Read it.
$131,313. Well, what about it?
What about it? And do you think you'll win on number 13, 13, 13? Here's three strikes on you, McGee.
Chuck, that don't mean nothing, Molly. Add it up. 1 and 3 is 4, and 4 is 8, and 4 is 12. 12 is a lucky number, according to numerology. Even dozen.
Sure. An even dozen that doesn't mean anything. Oh, it's a nice little house. But you got no more chance of winning it than making a fortune on spaghetti in Ethiopia.
Oh, well, you'll have to admit,
Molly. Oh, there, my friend.
Oh, dear.
I hope you've enjoyed the hospitality of Hagelmeyer's Whistle Vista.
Oh, sure. They was real nice barbecues, mister. But we got to be on our way now.
Oh, no, 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 madam. You cannot afford to pass up the homemaking opportunity of a lifetime. Why, when you consider what Hagelmeyer's Whistle Vista offers you in the way...
You got any soda tablets on you, bud?
Wait. No, sir, I'm afraid not. Oh, you will?
This is barbecued beef stampeding, mister. Come on, McGee.
Okay, glad to have met you, brother.
Oh, but wait. You haven't heard the real true story. The romance behind the founding of Hagelmeyer's Whistle Vista. We are building a community, sir. We are interested in laying the very cornerstones of civic development. We want to see homes and more homes with healthy, happy citizens. Little kiddies going to school. Smoke from 100 contented chimneys, even at a sacrifice.
Sacrifice?
Ah, yes. What is the monetary loss?
Well, when you can sell 131,313 tickets for $2 apiece, making $262,626 for a house that couldn't have cost more than $4,000 to put up? Answer me that, Mr. Sacrifice.
Well, I'm afraid, madam, that... Oh, here is Mr. Hagelmeyer himself. Mr. Hagelmeyer. These good people appear a bit skeptical of the sincerity of our Whistle Vista. I want you to meet Mr. Hagelmeyer, folks. Mr. Hagelmeyer, this is Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs.
McGee.
What?
Nothing. I was just telling Mr. Hagelsnuffer the name.
Hagelmeyer, madam. Mr. Hagelmeyer will tell you all the advantages and opportunities embraced in the purchase and ownership of a little home in Hagelmeyer's Whistle Vista. And the drawing of the lucky number will be held in just a few moments now. Mr. Hagelmeyer will be more than...
My, Mr. Hageltooper. Do all these people pay $2 for a few barbecues and coffee and ballyhooey?
Do you mean to say that is to remark... Never let it be said... Well, Herman Hagelmeyer ever... Well, what do you think?
You know what I think, Haggy? I think that this here is a big gif. I think what we ought to do is...
Well,
get
what? Out. What? You mean to say there and stand... I mean, to stand there and accuse... why, whoever... but did you ever... to think that a man's best friend is... Well, what is mother without a home? I mean, what is home without a bar? A thing? I mean, some place where a man... get the idea? Just two little bums or birds in a gilded coach or cage. Think of it, my friend. A little cottage with a big cheese. cottage cheese. No. A million times no. Or shall we say maybe?
McGee, what is this man talking about?
Sounds like he got the needle in the wrong groove, Molly.
Ah, oh, what a beautiful thought. Just give a little thought, but think of the twilight. A little home in the sticks, or rhubarb, or suburb.
Covered with mortgages, or ivy, or poison ivy, or no. That was, and a cheerful fire. No insurance. I mean, a fire in the fireplace, a scuttle, a skittle, a kettle, singing on the stove, or home on the range, or... And a little wire-haired wife, a beautiful young pup, and the kitties, two charming little golden-haired brats.
What a beautiful puncture, a picture. Who says that Hagelmeyer builds bum bungalows, frame house, or stucco? I'll stuck to stickle, my friends. I mean,
am I hearing right, Molly, or maybe I ate one sandwich too many?
Oh, look, McGee, the crowd's going over there for the raffle. Come on, let's see who won.
Okay, Molly. Probably be the cousin of Hagelmeyer here.
Sir, you are either on deck or injecting. Look. Think of owning a toodle, or title free. A little love noose, or fig noose, or love nest, and remember that old limerick, or wise poem? Let me live in the road by the side of, let me carouse by the side of, under the village oak, the blackface, skip it. All I can say is that when you build with Hagelmeyer, you'll always regret, it'll never be, you can depend on why there's not the slightest foundation.
That's just what I thought. Come on, McGee, they're drawing numbers. We'll see you later, Mr. Higginfather.
Certainly not. Yes, indeed. You can never depend on Hagelmeyer. You can always get what you want and find out what
that there fella builds houses like he talks. You can park your car in the attic and shingle the cellar.
Oh, be quiet, McGee. They're making an announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, the grand drawing is about to take place. Have your tickets ready. The lucky winner will receive, absolutely without cost or expense of any kind, free and clear title to the beautiful little home you see to my right. To those who do not win, we offer special bargains in home sites, homes designed and built on the beautiful Hagelmeyer Wistful Vista. Just a minute now, while the charming Miss Susie Gloss, who was elected Miss Wistful Vista of 1935, draws the lucky number.
Oh, dear. And us holding on to ticket number 13, 13, 13.
Quiet, Molly. I want to see if old Hagelmeyer wins it himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, your kind attention, please. The lucky number has been drawn. The number that wins this beautiful example of the home builder's genius is none other than 1,028. 1,028. Will the lucky winner please step right up to the platform here?
Well, McGee, at least we had our barbecues and coffee.
No, shucks, the roof probably leaks anyway. What's the thing?
Tear up the ticket, McGee. 113 is bad enough for three.
Attention, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, wait a minute, Molly. Maybe we got pie coming.
A correction, ladies and gentlemen. Number 1,028 was not eligible for the prize as it had been turned in and the money refunded. Another number has been drawn. It is number 131,313.
McGee! McGee, did you hear? It's our number, McGee. It's our number. McGee, what's the matter with you? McGee! Oh, help somebody! He's fainting!
A few moments ago, I told you how easy it is to make your car sparkle like new again with Johnson's Auto Cleaner. Now it's very important to protect that gleaming finish so it will stay shining. And it's very important that you use Johnston's Auto Wax in order to give your car the surest protection against sun, rain, and road film. With a gleaming coat of Johnston's Wax on your car, whether new or old, it will resist dust and dirt. Car washings will be cut down after your car is Johnston waxed. The polish wears like iron, keeps your car in such beautiful condition that you will get much more money for it at the time of resale. So go to your dealer right away. Order Johnston's Auto Wax and Cleaner at the special price of 98 cents for the two. Your dealer will give you a can of fine quality black touch-up enamel, free with your purchase. If you prefer, your garage or service station will wax your car for you. But don't delay another day. Wax your car the Johnston way. So there you are until next Monday night at this same hour on NBC. Remember, NBC. NB sure to specify the genuine Johnston's Auto Wax and Cleaner. NB safe. Oh, and NB. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking. Good night. The selection I Wished on the Moon is from the big broadcast of 1936 of The Icing from the show of the same name. This program came to you from our Chicago studio. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. Next, we have the show that launched one of the most famous gags in history, Fibber McGee's Closet. Also, there's a special appearance by Gracie Allen, who was visiting other shows to promote her whimsical run for president. What made Fibber McGee and Molly so special was their partnership with their writer, Don Quinn. They joined forces starting with their show Smackout and his absurdist lines and great use of language for Fibber's poetic ramblings make the show a classic. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly Cleaning the Hall Closet, first broadcast March 5th, 1940 on NBC.
The Johnston Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnston's Wax and Johnston's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Bill Thompson, the King's Men, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Shine. Again, it's Fibber McGee and Molly time. Fibber McGee and Molly. The dramatic story of a woman with her faith in a man.
Oh, sure.
And a man with his faith in a newspaper. Will something exciting, unusual, or momentous take place in the little frame house at 79 Wistful Vista tonight? Or is that expecting too much? Yes, I guess it's expecting too much. Anyway, here they are, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Anything interesting in the paper, dearie?
Well, here's the interesting article on crop surpluses, Molly.
You don't say.
Yeah. Now, take corn, for instance.
Certainly. We can take it and we can dish it out.
Hey, I'm serious. This writer says that if conditions keep up, the small farmer will be completely annihilated.
Oh.
Hey, what's annihilated?
Annihilated. Why, that means, when a farmer, now, for instance,
Where's the dictionary?
It's probably in the closet with the rest of your stuff. Give me your key and I'll get it for you.
Oh, no, you don't. You lay off the stuff in that closet. I got all my stuff arranged in there just the way I want it.
Now, don't be silly. Give me the key.
Okay. Now, let's see. Which one of these is the most...
Heavenly days. Why do you carry all those keys? Does it make you feel important or something?
What do you mean, important? Every one of them keys is necessary.
What's that little key there for?
Well, that's a padlock key.
What padlock?
Well, for the backyard gate we used to have in Peoria.
What are you keeping that for? Are you homesick?
No, but if we ever move back to Peoria, I'd try to rent the same house because this key fits the padlock there. You got to think ahead in these things. And you see this key here?
Looks like the key to a can of salmon.
Nope, sardines. I use that to clean my pipe with.
Oh, I see.
Now, let's see. Which one of these keys is the closet door key?
Say, maybe we better see if the closet is locked. Let me take a look.
Oh, it's locked all right. You don't think I'd leave all my personal defects laying around for any prowler to get his hands on?
McGee, it isn't locked. Right. Better give me a hand, McGee. This stuff's all falling out. I'm buried alive. Get this junk off of me.
All right, but Dad Rabbit, you might have been more careful.
Quick, help! There's funny little insects all over me. Brush them off, quick.
Oh, calm yourself, calm yourself. Them are my trout flies.
Oh.
Doggone it, Molly. Why did you have to go and mess up?
Oh, dear. Come in.
Fibber McGee and Molly?
Yes.
Tell me, with all these radio shows being changed, is it true that you're going to cut your program down to a half hour?
What do you mean, cut it down? It's only a half hour now.
What? Boy, it sure seems like an hour.
Well, as the guy says, when he fell off of the horse and heard something bust, that sounded to me like a rib.
Well, never mind that now. Dear, oh, dear, look at all this junk that fell out of that closet.
Don't worry, I'll put it back, Molly.
No, you won't.
Huh?
We're going to go through that pile of whatnots and throw everything out we don't need.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've been through this stuff 100 times, and there ain't a thing of it that I can spare.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
What's this old rusty horseshoe for?
Well, I found that in 1911. As soon as I find three more, we can pitch horseshoes in the backyard.
I see. You expect to find three more,
you
huh?
You betcha.
You don't think the automobile is here to stay, eh?
Won't be if we don't catch up with the payments.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, little girl. What you want?
You remember that job you promised me to take care of your baby, only you didn't have one, so I was going to bring my little brother over and take care of him, remember? Hmm, do you? Hmm?
Yes, sure, I remember,
the deal is off, see?
What you mean the deal is off? In the first place, there wasn't any deal, and in the second...
My mommy had to take my little brother to the doctor today, so I can't bring him over.
Oh, well, that's too bad. What's the matter with your little brother? Anything serious?
My mama thinks so.
Oh. She thinks so, huh?
She thinks so. I had to clear my throat there. She thinks he swallowed a dime.
Swallowed a dime? Well, say, that is serious.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, he didn't swallow a dime, I bet you.
Huh?
It was only 8 cents.
Only 8 cents? How do you know?
Well, we were playing slot machine, and I fed him to him. What you doing, mister?
Well, we're cleaning out this closet, if you must know.
I mustn't.
Mustn't what?
No.
No?
Yes.
What?
Hmm?
Oh. Listen, sis, suppose you go on home and annoy somebody else. Go bother your daddy.
He isn't home. He's working on the senseless.
On the what?
The senseless. He goes to people's doors and asks them how many people in the family and how old are you and all stuff like that there, I betcha.
Oh, you mean the census?
Hmm?
Shucks, I didn't even think a kid your age knew what a census was.
Well, I do, I betcha.
Yeah?
A census is information, please, on the red, white, and blue network. Da 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 da.
While we're waiting for Fibber and Molly to return, I'd like your attention for just a minute. If you have valuable jewels, you protect them by keeping them in your safe or in a secret compartment. Valuable papers you keep in a strong box or vault. How can you protect your valuable furniture, floors, and woodwork? By locking them under a safe protective shield of genuine Johnson's wax. That may seem like a strong statement, but it's really true. When you apply a coat of Johnson's wax, you are completely covering the surface with an invisible yet very tough shield of real wax. This wax guards the floors and furniture surfaces against wear and against dirt and moisture. From time to time, you renew the coating of Johnson's wax, and your floors and furniture are given permanent protection. What is equally important, they have that rich, wax-polished glow that good housekeepers cherish. If your home is not wax protected and wax beautified, order genuine Johnson's Wax paste or liquid tomorrow.
Imagine all this stuff falling out of one little closet. Yeah. How'd you ever get it all in there?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just inherited a gift for packing. My great-aunt Minnie had a job stuffing pimentos into olives. Oh, hey, look at this, Molly. The tabaret I made in manual training. Yeah?
Didn't you ever finish anything? It's only got three legs.
They wouldn't let me stay in the fifth grade another year.
Ah, oh, McGee, look. One of our old dance programs before we were married. I didn't know you were so sentimental, dearie.
Is that a dance program? I was saving it on account of that little pencil hanging onto it. You never know when you'll need a pencil.
Listen to this. Waltz, waltz, turkey trot, waltz, bunny hug, waltz, Texas Tommy, waltz.
What, no shottish?
Grizzly bear, waltz.
There.
You had every dance with me but the last waltz. McGee, who did you dance that one with?
Why, nobody. We sat that one out. In the buggy, remember?
Oh. Oh, yes. And we couldn't go back to the dance because you sat on a box of Lowney's chocolate-covered cherries and spoiled your white pants.
That was the night they took us. Come in.
Oh, hello, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Say, I'm looking for a nice room in the neighborhood. Got one to rent?
No, I don't believe so, Mr. Oldtimer.
Oh, come on, kids. I'll pay $3 a week with meals, or $2 a week and eat out, or two and a half if you leave me see the funny paper first on Sundays.
Nothing doing, Oldtimer. We ain't taking boarders.
Eh?
Absolutely not.
The last boarder we had was a tap dancer. Kept me awake all morning. I finally got tired of it and knocked him cold with one of his steel-plated shoes and stuffed it into his own trunk.
Incidentally, McGee, where did you ship that trunk?
Off to Buffalo. Wow!
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one fella said, t'other fella... Say, says, I see where Scarlett O'Hara got the Academy Award. Yep, says t'other feller. She lost out with Rhett, but she sure got her Oscar. Well, I'm sorry you ain't got a room for me. Slept in the park all last summer and didn't like it. The roof leaked. So long, kid.
tired of all them Gone with the Wind gags.
Yeah.
I don't know how a picture about the bluegrass country could produce so many bum plugs.
Well, never mind that, McGee. Isn't there any of this junk we can throw away now?
Well, now, let me see, Molly. How about this old photograph album here?
I should say not. That's got all our family pictures in it.
Oh, dear.
Who's this funny-looking man with the walrus mustache, McGee?
Oh, that's my great-uncle Roscoe. We were pretty proud of Uncle Roscoe. He was the first white child in the county to be blackballed by the Elks.
Here's one of me, Aunt Ad and Aunt Carrie. They both had big families.
And how many kids they have, anyway?
10 between them. Ad 6 and Carrie 4. McGee, now, what are you going...
Well, hello there, folks. I was just going by and I thought I... Well, what goes on here? Have you been buying out an antique store?
Hi, Harlow.
This is just a lot of stuff McGee's been hoarding in the closet, Mr. Wilcox.
Isn't it wonderful how much you can pack into so little space?
Uh-oh.
For instance, you only give me about 6 lines to tell how Johnson's Glow Coat saves hours of house cleaning because it beautifies and protects linoleum with absolutely no rubbing or buffing. But in those 6 lines, I think I can get the idea across pretty well that a self-polishing preparation like Glow Coat is the very essence of good housekeeping.
Oh, boy.
It's so easy to use that it's easy to tell about.
Oh. Ain't he marvelous, folks? That guy has dedicated his whole life to Johnson's Glow Coat.
What do you mean, Pepper?
Harlow, they tell me that way back when you were in college, they wanted you to stroke the crew, and you said, no, no stroking, no rubbing, and no buffing. Even for dear old University of Southeastern Nebraska.
Is that true, Mr. Wilcox?
No, no. I wasn't a crew man. I went out for ROTC.
Oh, Reserve Officers Training Corps?
No, Revolutionizing Old Time Cleaning. Oh. Well, so long, folks.
Well, he got you there, McGee.
Yep. Yeah. As the golf ball says when it landed 5 feet from the tee, I think I've been topped. Well, let's get busy, Molly, and put this stuff back in the closet.
You mean you're going to keep all this junk? Can't we throw any of it out?
No, sir. I got a use for every one of these things.
Now, you don't need this, do you?
Huh?
What good is one snowshoe?
Why, one what?
Snowshoe.
Is that a snowshoe? Well, shucks, no wonder Billy Mills beat me so bad playing tennis.
Oh, now what? Come in.
Hi, sis. Can we... Oh, hey, Molly. Look, it's Gracie Allen.
Hello, Gracie. Won't you come in?
Oh, no, thank you, Molly. And I wouldn't have dropped in if I'd known you were entertaining.
Oh, we ain't entertaining.
Oh, you are, too. I think you're very entertaining.
Oh.
Now, you say something nice about Georgie and me.
Oh, T.M.
Yeah.
Well, I heard, Gracie, that the difference between our shows is that yours is always in the middle of the week, and ours is always weak in the middle.
Oh.
Gracie, what's this I hear about you running for president of the United States?
Oh, there's nothing to it.
Oh, you mean you're not running for president, huh?
Oh, I mean I'll be elected. There's nothing to it.
Oh, yeah? Well, I ain't one to indulge in no idle gossip, Gracie. But I've heard whispers about Dewey and Hull and Garner and Taft being in the White House next year. But I suppose they're just rumors.
They are not. I'll be running the White House, and I'm not going to take in any rumors.
What's your party, Gracie?
Oh, well, it's my own party, the surprise party.
What an adorable name, dear.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it.
Well, you can count on our votes, Gracie. I always said there should be a woman in the White House.
How about Mrs. Roosevelt?
She's never in the White House.
Molly, do you play bridge?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm forming my cabinet, and I need 7 more bridge players.
How big a cabinet are you going to have?
Just 2 tables.
You need a good pool player?
Well, no, I'm having the pool table taken out. The 8 ball gets in front of too many people.
By the way, Gracie, when do you expect to move into the White House?
January 1st.
January 1st?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to be inaugurated on New Year's Eve, are you?
Well, I may not be inaugurated, but I'll be feeling pretty good. Well, I guess I'll be running along now.
I'm glad you dropped in, Gracie. Do you think you can handle your campaign all right?
Oh, yes, I can handle my campaign, though the bubbles always tickle my nose a little bit. Well, thank you both, and don't forget my slogan, Grace the White House with Gracie. Good night.
The King's men sing,
Kapuzalum, Kapuzalum, Jerusalem was the daughter of the
In ancient days there lived a Turk, a horrid beast within the east, who did the prophet's holy work as Baba of Jerusalem.
He had a daughter sweet and smirk, a maiden fair with flaming hair, and all about her like a Turk except her name.
Kapuzalem.
Oh, Kapuzalem. Oh, Kapuzalem, Kapuzalem, the daughter of the Baba. The Baba. The Baba.
Zoom, 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 zoom. A boy resided near to she, his name was Sam, a perfect lamb. He was of ancient pedigree and came of old Methuselam.
He drove a trade and prospered well in Gunny Sacks and Johnson's Wax, and ringing at the Baba's bell.
He met, he loved, he wooed, he won Kapuzalem, the daughter of the Baba, Jerusalem.
Oh, Kapuzalem, oh, Kapuzalem, the lovers were discovered by the Baba. The Baba, the Baba.
The Baba went beside himself, forgot his prayers, and rushed upstairs, and took a bowstring from his shelf, and came back to Bamboozalem.
Oh, the youth and maiden, then he took and choked them both, and nothing both together, pitched them in the brook of Kedron near Jerusalem. Oh, Kapuzalem, oh, Kapuzalem, Kapuzalem, the daughter of the Baba. The Baba, the Baba.
Let's see him. Oh, then. Well, that's my correspondence course in taxidermy.
Taxidermy. Why on earth did you want to study taxidermy?
Well, how did I know it meant stuffing birds and animals? And there I was, stuck with a chauffeur's license, a city map, and a pair of puttees.
Well, hurry up and put your playthings back in the closet.
Okay.
Looks terrible laying around here on the floor with that...
I'll get it. Hello? No, this is the McGee residence. You got the wrong number... Oh, is that you, Mert?
Egad, every week the same thing. Apologies to Skinny Ennis.
How's every little thing, Mert? What's A? Your Uncle Gulliver. Oh, that's too bad, Mert.
Oh, my.
And they ain't found the body yet, eh?
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. What happened?
Mert's uncle drove his car off a cliff and had to walk home. They found the chassis up in a tree, but they don't know where the body is. What's A, Mert? Oh, that's okay, Mert. Everybody has the wrong number now and then, except Irving Berlin. Well, now, let's see.
McGee, why are you saving this long stick of bamboo?
Why, Molly, that's got a very definite purpose. If I was offered a job as sparring partner for Joe Lewis, that's the 10-foot pole I wouldn't touch it with. See, I got it right.
Oh, for goodness sakes, come in. Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington? So nice to see you.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
Good heavens, what a... Oh, my, it looks as if there'd been an explosion in here.
No, just some things that fell out of the closet, Mrs. Uppington. McGee had everything in there but the kitchen sink.
Oh, really? Everything but the kitchen sink? Oh, my, isn't that amusing? Oh, but what I came in for, Mrs. McGee, was to tell you about the symphony concert I've been planning with Maestro Mills.
Oh, yes, the symphony concert. Well, it's about time something was happening about that, Mrs. Uppington.
I've been waiting so long for that concert, Uppy, I'm even getting suspicious of Billy Mills. I'm afraid he's a non-conductor.
Oh, well, we must be patient, you know. There's been so many difficulties. For one thing, we're having trouble with the facilities at the Eagles Hall.
Oh. What's wrong, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, it's the Eagles, my dear.
The Eagles?
Yes, they're all roosting up in the rafters, and during rehearsals, they drop eggs on the orchestra.
You ought to call them down and give them seats in the first row, Uppy. Them birds are critics.
Yes, indeed, they certainly... Oh, now, please, Mr. McGee. It's discouraging enough as it is.
I hear they had a kind of an accident during rehearsal the other night,
Oh,
Uppy.
Yes, and it was so embarrassing.
So?
Yes, the musician playing the electric guitar reached for a high note and blew every fuse in the building.
Oh, my.
Oh, my, but those dear, dear boys went right on playing, just as if nothing had happened.
Oh, really, Mrs. Uppington? But how could they read their music in the dark?
Oh, my dear, that's exactly what I asked Dr. Mills, and he said in his most delightful manner, don't worry about it, babe. Those mugs can't even read music with the lights on. Oh, really, I thought that was just too gay. Or am I being a silly girl?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I must be going. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Abigail.
Isn't she ridiculous, McGee? Yeah. All the time she's back in that symphony orchestra, she's dreaming about Billy Mills.
Well, that's always been a pretty romantic spot, down by the old Mills dream. Don't you get it, Molly? I said down
ain't
by the...
Ain't funny, McGee.
Oh, well. It was spontaneous. Where was I?
Say, do you really think you can get all this stuff back in that closet?
Why, sure I can, and I don't want anybody touching these things either but me. They're too valuable.
Oh.
I'd have had it done an hour ago if I hadn't been interfered with.
All right, you do it then.
Huh?
I've got some work to do in the kitchen.
All right, I'll get it. Dad, rat it. I wish somebody'd crawl in through the window just for the novelty of it. Come in.
Oh, there, McGee.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, just thought I'd come by and tell you that... Well, my goodness, what's all this?
Oh, just something out of my closet. I'm straightening it up. Hey, Gildersleeve, put that hatchet down.
I'll do no such thing. That's my Boy Scout hatchet you borrowed last summer.
Dad, rather, it ain't nothing of the kind. That's my Boy Scout hatchet.
Oop.
Look at the insignia on the handle there. Owl Patrol.
Well, I belong to the Owl Patrol myself.
Oh, yeah? You in the Owl Patrol. Why, you don't even know the password of the Owl Patrol.
Who?
Well, somebody must have told you. Listen here, Gildersleeve, I bet you don't know a thing about scouting.
I do, too. I was an Eagle Scout with 26 merit badges.
Go on. Can you tie a sheep shank? Can you imitate the mating cry of the chimney swallow? Can you tell which way is north when you're lost in the woods?
Certainly.
How?
I face south and then turn around quick.
Look, Gildersleeve, if you're really a scout, you can do your daily good turn by scramming out of here and letting me finish putting this stuff back in the closet.
Well, all right, McGee. You're sure that isn't my hatchet?
On my word of honor as a member of the Owl Patrol, Gildersleeve.
Well, all right, McGee. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Say.
Huh?
Give me the password again, will you?
Who?
Who?
Boy Scout, that guy couldn't build a fire in a haymow by rubbing two sticks of dynamite together. Oh, well, I've got to get the rest of this. Looks like about all of it. Yep. It's all packed back in there. Boy, what a job. Hey, Molly! Molly!
What is it, Mr. Davis?
Look, I got all that stuff back in the closet, all straightened out.
Splendid, McGee, splendid.
Yep. And after this, when you want something out of there, let me get it for you.
All right.
Yep.
But now that you got the dictionary out of there, why don't you leave it out? We may need it again. What's the matter?
I forgot to leave it out. I packed the dictionary back in there.
Oh, heavenly day.
Now, hey, now you stay away from there. I know exactly where I put it.
Well, okay.
I can get it out without...
Bibb and Molly will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, I'd like to read you a brief letter received recently from a gentleman in New York State. For the past 15 years, he writes, I have installed many linoleum floors, as I am a linoleum layer. Most every time upon completion of an installation, I am asked this question: how can I preserve or improve the finish? Well, since Glow Coat has been on the market, I have used it with perfect satisfaction. So I always answer, use Johnson's Glow Coat and no other.
Well, now, coming from a man who knows his linoleum, that is a pretty sound recommendation. Glow Coat does preserve and improve linoleum, whether it's new or old. It makes linoleum last longer, makes it easy to keep clean, brings out the colors. And remember, there's no rubbing or buffing with Glow Coat, because it's self-polishing. You simply apply and let dry. In 20 minutes, your floor is sparkling with new beauty. Try Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat on your floors. Order a can tomorrow.
Now, look, McGee, that junk of yours is positively not going back into that closet.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Wrong routine.
Well, all right, then. But if it does go back in there, I'll arrange it myself. Now, you keep your hands off at this time.
You going to do it all by yourself?
I am.
Fine. As the fat lady says when she took off her corset, that lets me out.
McGee. Good night. Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax.
Thank you so much for joining us to enjoy the old-time radio hour. We appreciate your tuning in and hope you can find us again next week when we bring you more hilarious episodes of Fibber McGee and Molly. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.